Let's continue reading Micah chapter 6. In this chapter, we have the beginning of Micah's third message of judgment and deliverance. Let's read verses 1 through 5. Micah chapter 6, beginning now at verse 1. Hear now what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, O you mountains, the Lord's complaint, and you strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a complaint against his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? And how have I wearied you? Testify against me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt. I redeemed you from the house of bondage, and I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, counseled, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him. From Acacia Grove or Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteousness of the Lord. Once again, some background notes. Remember that the prophecy of Micah consists of three messages. Message number 1, chapters 1 and 2. Message number 2, chapters 3, 4, and 5. And message number 3, chapters 6 and 7. Each message consists of two parts, a judgment part and a deliverance part. Now here in the third sermon, the judgment part is in chapter 6 and the first half of chapter 7. And the deliverance part is in the second half of Micah chapter 7. Now here in the judgment part in chapter 6, we have two indictments or lawsuits from the Lord against Israel because of their sins. The first indictment is in verses 1 through 5, the verses that we just read. In verses 1 and 2, the Lord calls on the mountains to be a jury and listen to both sides of the dispute. Israel, plead your case, if you have one, before the mountains, verse 1. And then listen to my case against you, because I, the Lord, have a complaint against you, verse 2. Now notice what the Lord says in his case against Israel in verses 3 through 5. He reminds them that he has done nothing to harm them or hurt them, but has done everything to help them and bless them. He redeemed them out of slavery in Egypt, and he gave them leaders, Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, verse 4. He forced Balaam to bless Israel, even though Balak, the pagan king of Moab, had hired Balaam to curse Israel. You can read Balaam's blessing of Israel in Numbers chapters 23 and 24. But for all of this favor, the people of Israel continued in their sinful ways. Therefore, the Lord would have to bring judgment. Now in verses 6 through 8 of Micah chapter 6 here, we have Israel's response to the Lord's first indictment. And that brings us then to our doctrinal or teaching points for Micah chapter 6. Doctrinal or teaching point number 1. The Lord's requirements are consistent with his character. The Lord's requirements are consistent with his character. Verses 6 through 8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? With calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? Israel's response to the Lord's first indictment is essentially a good response. The people are penitent. In fact, this will be the response of the godly remnant in the future when Israel returns to the Lord. Micah voices here some rhetorical questions on the part of the people, and then he tells us what the Lord is really looking for. Does the Lord want thousands of animal sacrifices? No. Does the Lord want human sacrifices? Of course not. Such sacrifices were clearly forbidden by God's law. Verse 8 tells us what the Lord is really looking for. Once again, this wonderful verse. He has shown you, O man, what is good, And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? Notice how the Lord's requirements are consistent with his character, justice and mercy. This is a great verse to memorize. You know, when our children were growing up, we used to memorize Bible verses as part of our family devotions. This is the first verse we memorized as a family from the Old Testament. Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? Great verse to memorize. By the way, this is not a salvation verse. In fact, if it was a salvation verse, no one would be saved, because no one is 100% just, and no one is 100% merciful, and no one is 100% humble before the Lord. If this was a salvation verse, salvation would be by works. Salvation is only through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. No, this is not a salvation verse. This verse tells us what the Lord is looking for in the believer's life, then and today. So believers here this morning, are we just in every situation, even when no one is watching? Are we merciful in our dealings with people? You know, I chose to show mercy to two of my students this past week. I won't tell you the exact situation, but it was not easy, let me tell you. But I did choose to show mercy. What about humility? Do we walk humbly before the Lord our God? Or are we proud and hypocritical? The Lord's requirements are consistent with his character. Doctrinal point number two. The Lord's judgments are consistent with his character. The Lord's judgments are consistent with his character. Verses 9 through 16. In these verses, 9 through 16, we have the second indictment from the Lord against Israel. Let's read these verses. Micah chapter 6, beginning now at verse 9. The Lord's voice cries to the city, "Wisdom shall see your name. Hear the rod, who has appointed it? Are there yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked, and the short measure that is an abomination? Shall I count pure those with the wicked scales, and with a bag of deceitful weights? For her rich men are full of violence, her inhabitants have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. Therefore I will also make you sick by striking you, by making you desolate because of your sins. You shall eat, but not be satisfied. Hunger shall be in your midst. You may carry some away, but shall not save them. And what you do rescue, I will give over to the sword. You shall sow, but not reap. You shall tread the olives, but not anoint yourselves with oil, and make sweet wine, but not drink wine. For the statutes of Omri are kept. All the works of Ahab's house are done, and you walk in their counsels, that I may make you a desolation, and your inhabitants a hissing. Therefore you shall bear the reproach of my people." In this second indictment, the Lord indicates that he will have to bring down his rod of discipline on Israel for her sins. Verse 9, "Heed the rod and the one who appointed it." In verses 10 through 12, we see that the people were cheating in business. They were using dishonest scales and false weights. How many of you have ever been cheated as a customer? Everyone's hand is up here, right? You know, I remember the time I got ripped off by a merchant in the Middle East. I bought these so-called Bible Land slides in the marketplace, but when I got back to the hotel room, I opened up this box of slides and I found I had a box of rejects. Well, I went back to try to find the merchant, but of course, he had disappeared. I never was able to find him. I got ripped off. I'd been cheated. And I think you've been through those experiences as well. So we've all been cheated as customers. The point here, of course, is that we'd better not be the cheater, whether it be selling a house or a car or whatever. God must judge cheaters, dishonest business people. You see it there? Then and today. God must judge cheaters because his judgments are consistent with his character. And God is not a cheater. In verses 13 through 15, we see some of the forms of discipline that God would use to judge his people for their sins. Sickness, verse 13. Famine, verse 14. Poverty, verse 15. In verse 16, we see that Judah had allowed the idolatry of the northern kingdom of Israel under wicked King Omri and wicked King Ahab to creep into the southern kingdom of Judah. For this, the southern kingdom of Judah would come to an end, and the people would go into captivity, and the once great kingdom of Judah would become a byword among the nations. See it there at the end of verse 16, and your inhabitants are hissing, therefore you shall bear the reproach of my people. God let this happen. Why? Because God's judgments are consistent with his character, then and today. Don't think that you can get away with sin. If you were able to get away with your sins, God would not be consistent with his character. God must judge sin. God's judgments are consistent with his character. Now, what about practical application from Micah chapter 6? It's never wrong to wonder why you're sick. It's never wrong to wonder why you're sick. In verse 13, we see that God can use sickness as a form of discipline. This is certainly the teaching of the New Testament as well. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30, we learn that God disciplined some of the Corinthian Christians with sickness because of their wrong attitudes and actions in reference to the Lord's Supper. So as a believer, it's never wrong to wonder why you're sick. However, don't jump to the conclusion that every time you're sick, you're under God's discipline. No, that would be a wrong conclusion. And certainly don't jump to that conclusion when you see other believers who are sick. Ooh, I wonder what they did. Don't take that approach, right? There are many reasons for sickness. Not taking a flu shot, for example. Now, having said all that, we do know that the Bible exhorts us to continually examine our lives to make sure that our practice matches our profession. In Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, David asked the Lord to examine him and see if there was any wicked way in him. We should do the same. So if you become sick as a believer, it doesn't hurt to examine your heart before the Lord. It's never wrong to wonder why you're sick. You all follow that, right? Don't jump to the conclusion that God is disciplining you when you're sick. It may be you just got a cold, whatever. However, God can use sickness as discipline. And many times he does. And sometimes we don't know. Is God speaking to us? We're always to examine our lives before the Lord. So it's never wrong to wonder why you're sick.